Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron, and I'm back with Tom and Dom on a brisk Sunday morning as we approach the springtime. It's very exciting, very exciting. We have another jump point for you lined up, so get your coffee or whatever it is that you drink at this time of the morning. I won't judge, and we will dive right in to an exciting topic on collecting miniatures, and we're going to do a couple of I think of episodes on this sort of general topic. Today we're going to talk specifically around picking the units. Like, you know, when you're buying models, which ones do you pick? Like when you're starting a force, where do you start? We're going to get into some of that stuff. Now, we are going to kick it off though with a little bit of our favorite patron Q&A. So this one is from our patron and good friend Chaplain Steve. First of all, Chaplain Steve, thank you for your service. And on to your question. As more official mechs are released from CGL, what's the general opinion in terms of the future of customization for mechs? And Steve said, personally, I haven't tweaked a mech for the last 10 years. So it's a good question. I mean, we've got the recognition guides. There are at least 6.2 trillion variants of battle mechs available at this point. So it's a very good question. Tom, what do you think? What do you think the future is in terms of mech customization? We'll start with you.
Yeah. And he's talking about build and not like the plastics, right?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Okay. So actually like going into Mega Mech and sort of, moving criticals
the hardest
around.
Part,
adding...
Yeah. I was going to say like the hardest part is that there are so many variants. Like you're literally just going through them, checking profiles. Oh, like some of those mechs can have like 15, it seems.
It's true. Yeah.
You can find what you want. So it's really down to whether or not you want to find like a canon variant, which I tend to like, you know, just because it's nice to be able to call like, oh, I'm using variant K or, you know, and that's why I don't do customization. But
yeah. Dom, what do you think?
And I also never play the same one enough to like play it. And then we're always playing different mechs.
Didn't somebody once do like a spreadsheet of all the variants and it's like thousands? There's just thousands and thousands of options. What I did notice recently though is I don't know if either of you got hold of the latest hard copy recognition guide, which is like the 3150. And what I really noticed in that I thought was quite interesting, that had all the classic mechs in there. So, you know, you have the Wolverine, the Wasp, the Stinger, all the kind of unseen stuff.
Yep.
And they really kind of, they've made it really, I think they did a great job on this. They scaled it all back. So you've got like new technology. So, you know, like you'd get like LRMs with Artemis and, you know, impulses and stuff like that. But they were all WYSIWYG. So you could use those variants for any of the boxes that you're buying and it would look the same. It's not like it's got some derpy, you know, taser bomb on the side of it or something from the Dark Age era that barely anybody knows. So I really like how they've done that. I think that's the direction I think that they are going in. I think that's a very good way to do it.
So I have two thoughts and then we'll move into our rapid fire. So my first thought is I do think customization is still a thing. I think it's a big part of the game. I think there's always those, we'll call them tweakers, but you know, different kind of tweaking. I think there's always those tweakers out there that are going to want to mess with things. I'm, you know, guilty as charged. You know, for example, I was actually kit bashing a mech to create a certain variant, a Centurion AR. Very cool. Swaps the AC-10 for a heavy and a light PPC. So I was doing all these little cutting little pieces. And then I looked at the mech and I'm like, oh, it's got like I think it has a rear facing medium pulse or medium laser. I'm like, I don't want that. So I made a variant in AR2 and I flipped the medium laser around the front facing. So like, I think there's always going to be those little tweaks. I've never been a fan of like wholesale, like rip the mech apart and rebuild it from scratch. Like swap the engine, swap this, swap that, you know, a couple little tweaks here and there are okay. We have, as you know, our refit guidelines that we post online for free that we use in-house.
Which are great, by the way. They're really, really good.
Yeah, it's like it's a conceptual hardpoint system, right? Mm-hmm. And people bring this up in the comments a lot. I think that makes sense. You don't want to lose the identity or character of a mech, to quote somebody from a recent comment. I think, you know, that's really what it's about. So I do think customization stays. I do think as more variants are introduced, I do think it reduces the need to really go bananas. But I don't think it's something that is going to disappear from BattleTech now.
Yeah, and if we were playing like a campaign, I think there'd be much more. We'd be doing that more because you're building a list you're trying to keep for multiple games. So.
Yeah, or if we're like collecting salvage and like your weapons get damaged and you want to like plug a large laser in where the PPC was, that's always good stuff. Yeah. That's always good stuff.
Yeah,
good point. Yeah. All right, let's get into our rapid fire, shall we? So. Real quick, and this time we're gonna reverse it. Dom, we're gonna start with you, and then Tom, you get to go second. Okay. So, when collecting miniatures, are you a completionist, or do you only buy what you want?
A horrifying completionist, like I need psychological help. Completionist,
Thomas.
Exactly the same.
Yeah,
I still have a box of every single Solaris 7 mech that IWM made, if you remember.
I
50
remember.
Of them or something. I mean,
never used
mechs
them.
Mechs that nobody would ever in their right mind play. I have all of them. When the Kickstarter came out, we ordered two of every, there's a problem.
Guilty is charged. All right, so second question. How many unpainted mechs do you currently own? Give me a order of magnitude ballpark, Dom.
Oh, you don't get a ballpark from me. I've got an Excel sheet. I've got 124 unpainted mechs, which will soon massively go up after the Kickstarter to plus 400.
Yep.
But last year, I painted 372, I think, if memory serves me right. So
that's more than
like
one
I've
per
I've got
day.
A good... Good ratio. Oh yeah, I can bust out a company quite quickly. So,
Tom, what about you? How many unpainted miniatures do you own?
No comment.
All right. I think my wife watched this. I'm pretty sure.
I have them at hidden caches around the house, and my wife has no idea how many total. Like when she finds them, she's
like in the toilet system.
Yeah. In a baggie, like a gun in The Godfather. Yeah. That's my
So good. I mean, I'm definitely in the hundreds. If we count microfighters, it could be dramatically more.
Billions.
Billions. All right. So last one. All right. Here's a fun one. You are a mech warrior. All right. Would you rather be in a house unit, a mercenary unit, a pirate unit, or a clan? Now consider everything: funding, lifestyle, glory. Consider all those things. Dom, what would you want to be in?
Mercenary for life. Always mercenaries. Yeah, Tom? Easy answer.
No pants. So that's about it. No, probably like a house unit.
A mech warrior.
Yeah, probably a house unit. I want to say clan, but like their lifestyle kind of sucks. If we're being honest, kind of sucks. House unit would be awesome though. I get to wear like a military uniform,
right?
Probably like kick junior officers and treat them badly. It's great.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
I would have said house too, and I'm thinking like. You get great benefits. You probably get choice missions. Like, you send the mercenaries out to die. Like, pirates certainly don't have a good lifestyle. Clans are weird. So I would have said house unit too. All right. Let's move into our ready room roundtable. So this is the meat and potatoes. Again, we're going to talk about, basically building a new force from scratch and collecting the models, right? So the first question is this, guys. And Tom, we'll start with you here. When building a new force, what is the first thing that you look for when selecting a unit? And it could be anything.
Are we talking like from ground up, like paint jobs, everything?
Everything. Yeah, I knew you were going to go there immediately because I already know you well.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably where I start from.
Yeah.
I work backwards from what looks cool and then like try to piece together both who they are and then where they fit into some kind of battle that we might be able to orchestrate. So, that's really it. And again, with the flexibility of mech selection and BattleTech, that's the last step. And then we just make that fit whatever our BV, vision is. That's where I go.
Dom, what about you?
I think I've got a bit of a weird way to do this, but it's because I'm not really a tournament player. I pick every mech and every vehicle that I like and then I can literally just cherry pick what the hell I want. Again, you do lose some flexibility because I can't then, you know, there might be a good percentage of the models that I don't have, but I probably wouldn't pick them anyway because I, you know, I've got my little set list that I like. So that's kind of my way of doing it. But okay. Again, I suppose if I was going to play competitively, I probably would be much more crunchy, adding a little flavor of lore. But yeah.
For me, like I like to kind of have diversity in the types of units I have. Like, do I, you know, what clans am I missing? I don't have Hell's Horses, right? That's something on my list this year. You know, what inner sphere houses are underrepresented, right? I didn't have a lot of Capellans, so I recently did a Capellan force, right? So I'm always trying to like seek that balance and like as I grow the forces and you know, so that's kind of how I do it. And I guess if I was starting from scratch, you know, the first unit I painted was the Avatar Knights, right? Which was sort of near and dear to my heart from, you know, it was my unit in MechWarrior 4. And so, you know, that the just kind of pick what's cool, what looks good, what colors I like, right? I would kind of start there. So something that Dom said, let's follow up on that. So, and Dom, we'll start with you, and Tom, we'll go to you after that. How much rigor do you put around picking lore accurate units? So for example, Dom, if you're building a Draconis Combine unit, you know, do you make sure that there, you know, there's no Victors in that unit, or, you know, and it's got a lot of dragons and panthers and Jenners, like, you know, do you sort of follow that rigorously, not so rigorously, somewhere in the middle? Like, what do you think? What's your opinion on that?
I pretty much explicitly play narrative based. So yes, I would go for a lot of let's use Draconis Combine as an example. I would, if you're playing Succession Wars, I first of all, I'd probably strip out all medium mechs because the DC don't like medium mechs. So I'd probably do heavies and lights and assaults. You mentioned the Victor there. The Draconis Combine actually do get access to the Victor post War of 3039 because they basically capture the planet that it's made on.
They did. Should have known that.
Yeah. So it, but no, that's fine because that's it, you're right. If you depending on what area you're in, but if I was playing like just post 3039, I might be like, oh, I'll include a Victor in for flavor because you know that would really annoy the Fed Sons as well if they're going up against, you know, the mechs that have just been churned off their factory platform. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, so I'm very much, I definitely go for the narrative side. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom, what about you?
Hit or miss. I mean, sometimes it depends. If we're trying to play like historical battle, then I do. I like to add that in, but otherwise, really, no.
Right.
We don't.
So from a, like when you're building the force, right, and you're picking the mechs to paint and so on and so forth, or even deciding what to buy. It doesn't really
well,
matter.
I mean, something like the Kodiak, right, where I painted up Ghost Bears specifically because I really liked the Kodiak and wanted, like, it's just, I couldn't imagine. And the same with, what was the one for Comstar? Like, you wouldn't have a Clan Buster, even some of the other mechs. And, like, the Night Star for the other, for, you know, there's certain units that are like a dragon, like you mentioned with Capellans, it's just you wouldn't put them in a different group. So you have to paint them up. You gotta do it.
Yeah. In my opinion. Yeah. I'd say I'm like 50-50. I try to keep it lore accurate, but I always sort of, if there's something I wanna put in a different force, like I have a Zeus, you know, the famous Zeus in my Free Worlds League force, but they're on the border with House Steiner. There's no reason they couldn't have salvaged one, right? And so
another thing as well, you can do like narrative stuff really interesting. So you can have like your, like you said, like the Zeus that was salvaged gets given to your captain, and you build the entire narrative around that person. It's like I said, that would just be, it's like a real flavor to that. So
I agree.
You shouldn't be. Yeah, you're right. You shouldn't not experiment because you can do really interesting things with that.
Yep. So let's follow up on that a little bit more. So you're a new player, all right? You've decided however you want to pick your force. Maybe it's you see a cool color scheme, or maybe, you know, hey, I really love, you know, the Federated Suns. I think that's a cool faction. I want to do Federated Suns. You pick, however you decide. Let's say, you know, you don't have any unpainted minis, or you don't have any minis at all. Like, What do you think the minimum number of models is to get started in a force? Do you think, for example, to expand on that, like, should you always paint like a company? Could you start with a couple max? Like, what do you think for a new player or for somebody who's starting a new force?
When we were starting out, I painted up a whole bunch of four mech lances, in all different settings, just because I didn't have, and that was before the plastics were released. So like getting mechs, like we were buying Alpha Strike packs off
Those
eBay.
crazy
And they're
boxes,
all like, bent.
melted.
So and that was fine, but like it's sort of like, but a year down the road, you're like, let's pull them back, and then you have nothing else to add to them. If I was doing it over and with the availability of the plastics now, I would do the Dom approach and, have a big, think about the total usage of them.
Yeah, and I'll jump in, and then Dom, you can round us off. Like, I always when I'm doing a new faction, almost always I'm doing 12 to 20 units at a time, depending on sort of what we're thinking about doing at the studio with them, like if it's going to be in a long-term campaign, because I want the flexibility to sort of pick. Maybe I'll do like three lights, three mediums, three heavies, three assaults. Like I'll have like a good gradient of tonnage. And that's where I was saying in the prior question, like I don't really stick to the lore. Like I want that, I'll look at the BV curve, I'll look at all the different things. I try to pick things that fit. Like if I have 475-ton mechs in this faction, like it limits their usability. So I definitely consider, how much mileage I'm going to get out of that paint job. Because to your point, Tom, like if you only paint four,
It's a lot of work.
it's a lot of
It's the
work.
same amount of
Also,
work.
you can't assembly line it when you paint it. And also, when you get to the table, you don't really have any flexibility. But that's not to say you can't start with four if you only have four. But if you're planning a new force, I would buy three Lance boxes or two stars, and I would start with like 10 to 12 at a minimum, I think. Dom, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd take a similar approach. I think, I mean, I'll just like anecdotally tell you what how I do this. Let's take Liao as a force. I think they're quite an interesting one to collect Liao as well for starter players because they've got very good mechs. So like I've got like my core Liao forces, and that's pretty much like a who's who guide of what mechs they'd use. So you'd have like Vindicators, Catathrax, catapults, things like that. But then what I do is I build out. So they're kind of my core forces, and they're kind of in green pajamas, right? So just to kind of show, they've got like the decals on for Liao, so they look very generic. But then I build out. So I'll do things like Death Commandos. So then Death Commandos will get more specialized mechs. And because the Death Commandos, whatever era I usually am playing in, which has probably been around 30, 39 with them, they're usually going up against like Federated Suns. So they probably would have some Federated Suns salvage options. And I might give them like really crunchy special mechs as well, like throwing an Emperor in there from like the Star League era or something, like Gauss rifle variant.
I like that idea. That is a good that's a good way to sort of approach it, like have like a large sort of generic house force supplemented by more specialized lances, and that gives you the ability to kind of paint a lot of different things without having to, sort of have an overwhelming number. And then you could play like a lance of hussars and a lance of,
Exactly, yeah.
generic dudes. All right, so last thing here in this round table, what is the, for new players, or anybody, I guess, collecting a new force, what's your top piece of advice? Tom, I'll start with you.
The last person you should get advice from on this.
Buy all the
Yeah, man.
minis.
I mean, to be honest, like that's my approach is like if cost isn't an object for the stuff, just buy literally everything and be happy with yourself. But if not, then like whatever mech is going to engage you, that like if there's a new mech that comes out that you really like, just focus on getting that. It's how I do it.
Like it. Dom?
Yeah, I'd advise that you start relatively smallish. I mean, I suppose the most generic advice you give is just to buy the the start, you know, Game of Armored Combat. It gives you a really nice place to start because you get very, you get like iconic mechs in there as well, like the Awesome, the Catapult.
I have two simple things. Number one, when collecting a force, you know, I want to echo what you said about Game of Armored Combat. I think that's any time you can get large numbers of mechs at a you know, if you don't have the rules, it's great. You've got a lot of mechs there. But also buy more medium mechs because they're more flexible and you can get them in your force. You can play them in a big lance. You can play them in a little lance. Like I love the anytime one of my buddies like is like, oh, you know, what's this game? Like, how do you play? And they're kind of into it. The first thing I do is I buy them the Striker Lance, which has, you know, the Jenner, the Panther, the Blackjack, and the Wolfhound, I think. Yeah. Right. And they're easy to play. Like, you know, so just like I like that size range for new players because the games are a little faster, the complexity is a little better. Anyway, the second tip, one thing we didn't talk about at all, paint all of your vehicles in generic colors. Not all of them, but I'd say a large majority of them. Dude, you can get away with olive drab vehicles, just red vehicles. You can put them you'll see it in our battle reports. Like they'll fit in anywhere. And I just call them like, oh, this is the, you know, the third, second chance militia. Or like whatever, like they don't have to be part of the main force. So if you want to get the most mileage out of vehicles, generic colors, grays, tans, you know, I think that, and you can fit it in with your mechs and your mechs can be sort of the centerpiece with other flashy colors. Now, if you have a unit you love and you're an experienced painter, go for it. But, you know, paint them up in all the heraldry. But that's another tip I would share. It's actually a Kevin tip. That's something Kevin taught me, and I was like, no, you can't do that. And I was like, actually, you can. The next segment is one we have not done in a while, guys. This is Tales from the Laboratory. So this is a little, you know, kind of what we're doing at DFA and some of the things that we're working on. So our patrons have seen this. Our veterans have had access to sort of a beta test of the rules. So I will bring this up. This is basically what we are calling AeroTech Dropship Command. All right. So what we did was we basically took a lot of the rules in the original Alpha Strike book, the Alpha Strike Compendium. There's like space combat rules and then Alpha Strike Commander's Edition. And we sort of blended them together and modified them and updated them because there's no like consistent rule set for how to use dropship scale units and fighter scale units together. It's either like jump ships, it's like either extremely abstract or it's on the ground. It didn't really make sense. And then recently, about 2 years ago, they released, it's free by the way, this whole PDF of dropships and small craft, like Alpha Strike cards. And they're very, very cool. And I was like, how the heck do you even use these things? So we set forth and we created this rule set. And I just wanted to show some of the things that we did. So I'm going to bring this up full screen. All right. This is the logo. We unashamedly stole this from BattleTech and, you know, whatever. It's all free, by the way. Fan-made content, guys. So we commissioned a 3D artist to create some ships. Because if you go to Ironwind Metals, the microfighters are phenomenal. But if you buy ships like the Achilles, the Vengeance, all these other things, they're also extremely tiny and not to scale. So we wanted 3D printable ships that we could scale. So this like Achilles is like 3 or 4 inches long when it's printed out. And the microfighters are maybe like a quarter of an inch or so. So it's very, very cool. Lots of detail packed into these things. love it. This is an Avenger. That we have. So this is a dropship scale ship. It's much smaller though. It's a little more nimble, packs some pretty good firepower. It's also, you know, can also carry a couple of things. This bad boy is enormous, like 4.5 inches long. It's very meaty. It's called the Vengeance. It's a carrier, carries 40 aerospace fighters. So it's not very heavily gunned. It's not very heavily armored. Like the Achilles is basically like almost like a destroyer dropship. This thing is a carrier. So very, very cool. And then this is just a shot that we took here. You know, we got the asteroid field. So we laid out some models. Basically the way fighters work is they operate in flights. And you would just use the aerospace cards that you find right on master unit list. And again, all these cards for like the Achilles and the Vengeance, they all can be found right on, I believe it's Drive-Thru RPG if you look it up. But very, very cool. And the rules will be available soon on our website for free for those of you that are interested in checking that out. And you'll probably see some battle reports coming up at some point in the future if they haven't dropped already. But lots of painting to do, lots of testing and refinement to do, but we're pretty excited. And you know, of course, the notion of being able to kind of play through a battle, you know, forces arriving in the system, there's like this interstellar engagement, right, as the assault force makes its way to the planet. Depending on what survives, that might impact how many units are on the surface, so you could do all sorts of cool stuff.
I was thinking of those those like support cards, depending on the battle, you could like you could earn them, you know, what you do.
Right. So you like how many aerospace fighters survive? Like, do you even have superiority over the planet? And like, then you could get airstrike cards. Yeah, that's actually a cool idea. Yeah. So there's lots of different ways you could use this. And I thought it was sort of and leave it in the comments if I'm missing something, but I think it's a gap in the rule set. I mean, right now, the only space combat that exists, again, is from the old Alpha Strike book. And it's a very abstract system where you kind of like are in like a concentric grid of rings and you kind of...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So this is more like I move my ship, like the bigger ships have inertia and they'll like keep moving. You have to spend thrust to like slow them down and turn them. It's pretty cool. The fighters can kind of zip around. It's real easy. It plays very fun. But speaking of renders and exciting things, Tom, we're going to get into the final segment. Not only is it your favorite segment, but it's your favorite mech of all time, or at least one of them. Are you ready? It's the Jenner. The Jenner. All right. So the first Jenner got Tom so excited he almost exploded. This one, this one you may actually pop. So, Tom, I'm going to let you blend away. Here we are, the Jenner 2C.
This is cool. What's really funny is, again, it looks like a normal mech that's holding, it's like arriving for a dinner party holding a plate. It's like, oh, hi, guys. You know, I baked a little side dish for you. You know, like, I hope it's okay. I know you didn't ask me to bring anything, but yeah, like right there. And it's got a big smile. It's a little tiny head. It's okay. So dressed up. It's great. I am excited to know what is underneath the platter, though, you know? And in this case, it's bristling with missiles, it looks like, which is great. Yeah, dude, it's great. There's nothing you can say bad about a Jenner. It's the people always say like, oh, the Atlas, oh, the Marauder, like that's Battletech. No, man, like the Jenner epitomizes, the weird design. It's not super cool looking, right? Oh, it's so great. And on the tabletop, it's great. Dude, yeah, like
monster.
It's great. The legs are perfect. I mean, I feel like they probably spent the most amount of time of anything on this design, and it shows. And I'm completely making that up, by the way. But I like to imagine it.
I love those missile tubes. Like they look like they all open independently. It's just looks.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, like the updates from the old Jenner. Yeah, it's just, dude, I'm blown away. Great, great, great design. Another knockout, I think.
All right, so. Let's wrap this one up. A couple of things. Number one, Ares Games and Minis. Guys, don't forget to check out Ares Games and Minis for all your Battletech needs, especially when you are collecting your new Force. You got the Force packs, got Ironwind medals, dice, books, paints, brushes, buildings, all the stuff. So Ares Games and Minis, your number one stop for all things Battletech. Also, leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Tom and I were just talking about this last night, about the level of engagement in these jump points in the comments section. It's absolutely phenomenal. And then on Discord as well, there's even more engagement. Guys, it's terrific. We love your opinions. We love how civil the discussions and arguments are. You know, kudos to everybody out there. Honestly, I love it. So please keep that coming. And if I didn't say it already, don't forget to subscribe, leave a like. And if you want to help out the channel more, head on over to Patreon. It's as little as $1 a month. $5 tier, $10 tier, and higher if you so desire. But there's lots of different ways to help out. But it is, again, just as little as $1 a month. Keep the lights on. So that said, We're all wrapped up. Guys, happy Sunday. Thank you so much for watching. And of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death From Above Wargaming.